No, you know Peter put that sword in, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
yes.
It's all right. Yeah.
It comes up regularly in all the tours of Caister.
Yeah, when I take people round, I point it out, but then I do tell them the truth about it.
Oh, dear. Well, it is amazing because, I mean, the top, the finial broke off the top, because the grammar school always standing
there.
Yeah.
And we're giggling it.
Yeah.
Well,
and the top came off and I had nothing else to stick on it. Well, I had the welder here at the time, and so I just took that hilltop, that whole... sabre and stuck it on the top. Yeah.
Was it a genuine old sabre, though?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's got two here, look.
Oh, yeah.
Had a really big collection.
He did have a collection. You see, when...
when the Danecourts left Bairns Manor, they left it in a shocking state, you know, teal.
Yeah.
And my mother was always friendly with the Danecourts. And she sold it to the Mr. Drakes. She sold a manor. Young Danecourt, Alfred Tennyson Danecourt's relation, he went off to London. I think he was a military man. And Mrs. Danecourt lived in Tealby, right at the bottom. Down, you know where the Moot Hall is? Go right down to the bottom, just near the stream, on the right-hand corner. She lived in that little cottage there. And she said, I'm going to sell it. So she sold it to Mr. Drakes, who was a farmer. Anyway, Mr. Drakes, he got fed up with it. He wanted to get rid of it. The place was falling in. All the ceilings were coming down and everything. And he said to her, mother, you want to buy it? She said, I've enough trouble with the haulage business. Never mind about that. Anyway, I forget what he was going to say. I think it was £12,000, which doesn't seem a lot now, but it was a lot then, you know. Anyway... he gave her the key and he said, any time you like, go and have a look and see what there is for the money, you see. So anyway, we went up there and, absolutely marvellous. The place was, all the armour and the arms were still in the big hall. Oh, endless stuff. Anyway, I said to Mr. Drake, and he said, well, help yourself, because he said, I'm going for Meltdown to Scunthorpe. Well, I just said... how much stuff I got, I don't know, a tremendous amount of stuff. And guns, swords and halberds and breastplates and helmets and God only knows what, you know. And I had this stuff for years. When we lived at Red House, I had a room full of it. There was a minimum, I should think, of 150 different types of sabres, swords and cutlasses and all this stuff, you know, and pistols. Flintlocks and bucklocks and matchlocks, you name it, they were all there, yeah. But what I didn't take, you know, it was all...
went to Scunthorpe.
Yes. Terrible.
So would that have originally come from there as well?
Oh, it could have done that. Yeah. Oh, cracky, those had bits like that kicking about all over the place. Yeah. There's piles of the stuff. Piles of the stuff. And I always remember Mr... Drakes, who owned it at the time, used to tell us about this fireplace, which, I mean, the whole thing was a mock-up, you know, built around about, 1830, 1840, something like that, about this staircase as an escape hatch. And if you pulled away this panel, there was a staircase, and you could get up and get out onto the battlements. Well, you could, but every third step, it used to straighten out like that, and you go down again. Yeah, and we did find that it was actually there. But the first time I went there was to see Douglas Fairbanks Jr. He was there during the war, and then Clark Gable went there. But Clark Gable was only there for a very short time. But the flat which Douglas Fairbanks Jr. did for himself, because he was very friendly with Captain Danecourt. We'd never seen anything like it here. Wow, it's marvellous. It really was. I mean, the bathroom done out, I think it was blue. All done tile from top to the bottom. Shower baths, bidets, everything. I mean, in those days it was quite something. And there was a lovely little railway. Used to run all the way round the grounds. And right away round the front of the house. And we used to go there to these dudes and ride on it.
The narrow gauge?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was only about so wide. Yeah. No, you've just enough to sit in. Yeah. Yeah. And Ken Storr, Mrs. Storr now, who lives low side of you,
yeah,
her husband's father was chauffeur there.
Mm.
And they had a big day in the silent night. And when Mr. Drakes took the place over and he gave us the key to go and look in the place and doors were locked, I went in the garage and there were two wheels with steel rims and but hickory spokes, and I think it said a D in the middle, and they were off this car, and I brought them home, and I think they're still around there. Certainly they are. Mm. Magnificent place. And in the cellar there were gantries, and there were all these beautiful barrels, all with brass bands round them, and the name on them, Danecourt, and beautiful brass taps.
Yeah.
The whole lot was blown up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember Tom Walker, he came to the garage, because Tom Walker was the Sapley, was it?
Navy.
No, he wasn't. No, he was. No, he was originally. He had a lot to do with the trawlers later on. But I forget what regiment he was in. But he knew all about dynamite and blasting. And he came to the garage and he used to have these long tubes. And we asked him what he was doing, and he said he'd been given the contract to blow up Burns Manor. And he was the one who blew it up. But there was all the drawbridge at one time did work. Yeah. It's an amazing place. And we used to play in the ice house as well, because at the back of the manor there was like a tunnel where they used to put the ice and the food in there, you know. Because there was the usual ruin built at the back. Built as a ruin.
Yeah.
It's a lovely old place, it really was. It was a big blow to Tilbury when it went, because he used to pull in people, you know.
Yeah.